Let's let it roll. Yeah.
With the dude who is looking out his window at a snowy front lawn.
Yeah, that's tough, man.
Howard, do you want to know what I'm looking at, brother? You're a Bay dude.
I really don't want to know what you're looking at.
HB does not want to hear about the spring in the Bay.
Howard,
no.
You know exactly what we're looking at. You are a son of the Bay. You know exactly what it looks like on a Friday, April 16th. You know exactly what it looks like, buddy. Yeah, right?
Can I tell you one thing before we get started?
Yes.
Every single time, and I think this is an absolute. When I would come drive over into Marin and go over to Piper Park and go play in Larkspur, right? Yes. At some point coming over and getting off on Lucky Drive, I would just tell myself, this is where Dirty Harry killed Scorpio.
Yes!
Nice, nice, Howard. Yes. Nice, man.
That is a true story. That is exactly where it happened. And by the way, that railroad trellis is gone, and a part of my heart went with it.
Right? Exactly. And you drive over there and you go, this is not 1971. There's a Ross for Less over here now.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
No, yeah. There is, actually. You're right about that in the what they now call Marin Country Mart. It used to be Larkspur Landing. So. Sorry about what's that, Howard?
Larkspur Landing got renamed?
Yeah, it's Marin Country Mart. It's been rebranded.
You see how that happens?
By the way, shout out the sandwich at the Rustica, I think it's Cafe or Rustica Bakery or whatever. That's a damn good sandwich there. I may head up there today for one of those.
I like that.
Well, you'll be back soon enough, and you and I will do our thing, and we'll hang out when COVID ends and all that stuff. So you really did get that dusting, huh? That's that picture. That was no Photoshop. That was you got snowed on.
It's happening right now. It's not a dusting. It's happening as we speak. I'm looking at it.
Is that the gut punch? Is that the gut punch?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. You know what it is? It's like, you know, I'll see you soon. You know, you're not done yet. You think you're done with us? You're not done.
Right.
And now it's supposed to be 71 on Tuesday, but I don't care.
Right. It's not going to help me today. Right.
It's not going to. Exactly. What does that do for me right now? But I can tell you one thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere right now. And it's only like a couple of inches, but it might as well be a foot. Because it's the principle of it all.
It is, man. It really is.
Very, very good. Hey, we booked you, obviously, on the anniversary of Jackie Robinson, but the hell with that. We can talk anything. And one of the things we were talking about right before you came on is the age-old annual debate over MVP voting and races and what should count and what should not count and who is most valuable and what is most valuable and how it differs between sports. It's always time to drop the Andre Dawson bomb and always bring that out. But we're on that, I don't know how much, you're out there watching the Celtics and the Sixers and doing their thing. But I don't know how much you're paying attention to Steph Curry. He's playing what I think is the best basketball of his career, even given that unanimous MVP season. And he's not going to get the MVP award. And we were saying, if he's not the most valuable player, then what the heck does the darn award mean? And then people say, well, LeBron could say that every year, And I don't know, where does Howard come down on this? What do you think, man?
Yeah, I think that I got to say, as much as I ridiculed you, Murph, during the NCAA tournament, and as much as I was really close to muting you during the NCAA tournament, you're still my boy, and as the kids say today, I just appreciate you so much right now, and I will tell you why.
Yeah.
I will tell you why, because you ride with your teams. You just ride, and there's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
And I was like, my goodness, this is intolerable, but he rides with his teams, right? So I will say, this is a lead-in to say that when it was clear, not just the fact that Durant left and then you had the injuries and then Clay got injured again, and of course they had a terrible, season last year, there'd be a lot of people who were not up to the challenge, and you would have thought that Steve Kerr was sort of saying, I'm looking forward to this coaching challenge. I think about this with the Spurs, that they're not the Spurs anymore, that you remember the dynasty Spurs. But I got to say, you're 100% right. And I have watched the Warriors this year. And you watch them and you realize that Steph Curry is open to the challenge, that there's basketball to be played and there are things to accomplish, and there are victories to be achieved, even if you're not winning 65 games a year. That there's a professionalism that still has to be displayed here. And it's not just playing hard when your team's going to lose. It's, no, we're actually accomplishing things. And you realize, you watch him, you go, he's a great player. He's not a very good player. He's a great player. And it really does, you know, some of these years, like when people talk about Bird for me, if you go back to like the Larry Bird when I was a kid, one of my favorite Larry Bird years was when they weren't going to win a championship, was when Bird, you know, the 91 playoffs, when he smashed his face on the court in game five against Indiana. And you just realize that some of your favorite moments, when it's all said and done, or when you appreciate a player, sometimes it has nothing to do with playing for a title. It's just watching them go about their business and recognizing just what an elite athlete we've had the pleasure of watching. And that's what's happening with Steph Curry right now. And you're noticing when you're watching him play, the gap between what, not just what the team is on the court, but what that franchise is with and without him. Right.
Yeah. You're 1000% correct. And you're saying everything or at least I agree with you 1000% on this, and that it's hard to even think about this, that he's better than 2016, but you're right. He's playing with a tremendous amount of pride, and he's playing with the pursuit of excellence. It's startling to watch, and it's something so special. Now we've talked to you every year through the years, and when he first arrived, you were part of that front wave of the resistance to Steph. Remember, there was a resistance to him. Whether it was the belief that he was simply a 3-point gimmick, or that he was the beneficiary of a system. You even touched on the skin color. It was an issue that was resistant.
No, of course. Well, and not just the race and the class part of it, that he's not hood. He's the son of athlete. He was born rich. All of the things, right? Mm-hmm. Which made you question his street cred. And then you add Klay Thompson to the backcourt, and it's like, there's not just one of them. There's two of them, right? And
yeah,
so,
right.
You know, and you could hear it. And I remember you and I, you know, and Mac, we all talked about this. I think we talked about this down at spring training, that when we were all having dinner, about how I've never seen a great player treated with less respect by other great players. Because those guys, you know, that game recognizes game. They had to be pulled, kicking and screaming that, yes, he's a great player.
And
you know, and
well, it's all true, and yet part of his greatness is how he handled all that, his modesty and or his humility and or his sort of just willingness to just always be the best Steph he can be.
Right, his whole temperament,
falling into any kind
of... something, and there's something else there that absolutely needs to be discussed, especially today, which, you know, brings us to my Spear of Lightning theory, which you have heard a gazillion times. And so, the Spear of Lightning theory, which is that, you know, that franchises and coaches need a player who is going to rep them. And today, in today's super team era, and if you look at the Nets, for example, who are the sort of the poster children of this phenomenon, that the uniform doesn't matter, the city doesn't matter, we're all going to just pick a place and play there. And what Steph Curry has done, and one of the most remarkable things, because now people are talking about him leaving and that he can leave and that, you know, he can go join LeBron somewhere, that, you know, he's going to go somewhere else and go pursue a title. One of the things that I've really enjoyed about watching him, too, is that there almost feels, it feels like there's almost a statement there. This is my team. This is my city. This is my team. This is my franchise. I identify with this franchise, and you are going to get the very best of my professionalism, no matter what the record is and no matter what our prospects are. And so, and I'm going to also take these young players. I don't know, Wiseman's out for the season now, but I'm going to take all of these young players in this group and take the new guys who come here and show you how we do things here. And that is one thing that I'm extremely worried about when I watch the NBA, that somewhere along the line, and I'm a labor guy, you know that, but somewhere along the line, you have to have the balance where you have identifiable faces for franchises. If the franchises just don't mean anything, it's a tougher watch.
Yeah.
You are touching on, and the Pauly and Copes are going to roll their eyes right now. One of my favorite baseball songs of all time is Macklemore wrote this song about Dave Niehaus called My Oh My that just gets me every time. But he, as he builds into the end of the song, he says, my city, childhood, my life under those lights watching Griffey. And it's that's what you're talking about. That's being lost. You know what I mean? There's that. And Steph hasn't lost it. Steph is representing so much the franchise, the city, to people's childhoods and all that. So I'm with you, man.
It's not over, right? It's like, okay, we're not a great team right now, but that's not to say we're not going to be a great team again.
Yeah.
I mean, does anybody really believe that the players on the Brooklyn Nets are like, this is our, it's just a place.
I can't even. I haven't seen the three guys in one in the building at the same time.
Not very often.
They're going to get together. They're going to meet up. They're going to get three different Ubers for the playoffs and just show up. I want to squeeze so much into this conversation, Howard Bryant, ESPN, and originally booked under the premise of Jackie Robinson Day. You were awesome this week on ESPN talking about it. But I was going to say, my question to you, when you see the 42s on the back of the jersey, and I'm just going to juxtapose it with an anecdote. So last night there was no Giants game on. The Warriors had their win in the bag, and I made my kids sort of sit down, and we stumbled on, just by accident, I was looking for something to watch, Dodgers-Rockies, the heck with that, and stumbled on Ken Burns Baseball, and you're, of course, part of his extra innings one, but this was the original, and it was the 1910 to 1921, Connie Mack, Harry Hooper, all the way up through the 1919 Black Sox. And I was trying to get my kids into it, and they were trying to please their dad because they know their dad's a lunatic who would scream at them if they didn't watch it. But I could just see it looked, Howard, this we're talking about a 100-year-old, literally 100-plus-year-old history, and the Ken Burns documentary that we thought was so cool in 1990 isn't really hitting with kids in 2021, And so I was thinking, going to use that. I mean, I was into it. I was into the Connie Mack and the Ty Cobb going into the stands after a racial slur is thrown at him and all this stuff and just crazy baseball history. These kids are just like, what is this? Like, what is this? Ancient Greece? What is this? Like Julius Caesar? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that leads my question is when you see 42s on the backs, do you think it still has any impact? Is it still working? Is there a distance there? How are you processing it in 2021?
There's a huge distance there, and there very much is a danger of it becoming performative, and there's a real danger of making it's like anything, right? It's the law of diminishing returns. The more you saturate it, the less power it has.
Yeah.
It's like I remember after I finished the Hank Aaron book. Somebody said to me, man, you really got to do the next book's got to be Frank Robinson. And I was like, no, it won't be. It doesn't have to be Frank Robinson. And one, because who in their right mind would want to write about Frank Robinson, who is one of the most, uncooperative people in the world. And two, how many more times can you write about colored water fountains and having it have impact?
Yeah.
And so the thing that I actually find really great about Jackie is that there does still seem to be some resilience there. There's a lot of resilience there, but you have to find it in different places. If you go and tell the same old anecdotes, they all fall flat. How many more times do I have to hear the same stories about Jackie? But that's the beauty of Robinson, is that he's able, you could talk about things that you've never talked about with Jackie, like the fact that Jackie was the first Black broadcaster in the United States, doing a sports broadcast. He was the first Black columnist. He had, in a major newspaper, he had a column in the New York Post during the 1960 presidential campaign. Jackie had a construction company and was building low-income housing in the 50s and then in the 70s. And so to me, the thing that I love about Robinson is that his scope was so wide that if you dig a little bit deeper, he still has resonance and he still has power. But, there's no doubt when you're looking at this. I mean, I'm doing it myself. ESPN called up and said, hey, it's Jackie Robinson Day. And I was like, okay. I didn't really roll my eyes because I'll always talk about Jackie.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, what new can you pull out of this to make sure this doesn't just become performative?
Yeah. Well, good stuff. Yeah. And by the way, I think a lot of baseball fans know, but here's another one, is people need to go look at him at the 72 World Series and what he says shortly before he died, too, is that when either when he's being honored by Bowie Kuhn and the crew, he uses the microphone to say, this is cool, but it's not going to be cool until I get a black man managing a baseball team in the dugout right there. And then he died a couple weeks later, too. So anyway.
He died 9 days later.
He was like in his early 50s. Yeah.
He was 53 years old.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you think about these things, you really do recognize that this guy is big, right? Just a giant in terms of the area of, are you talking about it or are you, you know, don't talk about it, be about it. He was so about it in so many different areas. And also, I thought about Robinson. One quick thing, I thought about Robinson. When you think about Lindor's $380 million contract, right? Or whatever, how much money Lindor got, right? 340 or 36, whatever he got. Jackie Robinson was testifying to the Supreme Court on behalf of Curt Flood. So Jackie even one of those guys who was like, oh, man, I'm really bitter about what I would have made, right? No. Jackie was like, I'm all about values, and that's the real stuff.
And it's great, great. And then I'm just going to draw the connection back to my Twitter feed. Where do you go to school, Howard? Where do you go to school? Uh-huh. Yeah, there you go. You need some more tweets on UCLA basketball?
Okay. No, he went to Pasadena Junior College.
He went to John Muir High School, right?
John Muir High School.
If you need a Johnny Juzang tweet, I got one for you. Okay, buddy?
No, he was straight UCLA, man. And I'll say
As was your friend Rachel, who's still alive,
Who will be 99 years old in July.
And she's a proud Bruin, too. Don't forget it.
And also, just to be very quick on Rachel Robinson, even more than Jackie in a lot of ways, because, of course, Jackie was already dead. Rachel is the reason why we're still talking about Jackie, because Rachel made sure that Major League Baseball held up their end. If you guys are going to wear number 42, and if you guys are going to sell jerseys, and if you're going to really talk about my husband in terms of commodification, you will honor him. And out of deference to her and out of doing the right thing, Major League Baseball did that. But this doesn't happen without Rachel. We're not doing this stuff on ESPN or talking about this without Rachel.
Yeah.
Awesome. She said the elegance of Rachel Robinson is off the charts, and God bless her. And hopefully she's just doing great. I feel like with everything, I want to check so many boxes with you, and we're out of time. I just wanted to go completely off the board here and say, all the way out in Western Mass where there's snow on the lawn, are you paying any attention, and is the country, and I know baseball is so low anymore, and you and I love it, and Pauly loves it, and Copes loves it, but the Dodger-Padre thing has my attention. They're meeting. There's big stories in the LA Times and the San Diego Union-Tribune, and it's a cultural thing in Southern California. I know we're in NorCal, obviously, and people are trained to hate them down there, but it's interesting. There's a culture war going on. There's the Sam Farmer writes, even the Dodgers are doing their OK Boomer blue and white unis while the Padres are coming with their flash and their brown and their flips and everything. And are you at all into this culture war between the Dodgers and the Padres?
Well, I'll say something very quickly. Number one, I will say that it all feels flat to me because I'm in between the, you know, COVID fatigue, right? I'm like, okay, does anything really still have its power? But I will also say, yeah, I'm liking this because I need to see what Blake Snell's all about. He's facing Trevor Bauer this week, this weekend. I want to see that. And if you're the Padres, you went all in, right? This is what it's supposed to be. You went all in on Machado. You went all in to get Blake Snell. You went all in. You know, you've got Tatis. So you are. Exactly, and you Darvish, of course. And if you're the Dodgers, of course, you've been all in for the last 10 years, and you know you can revel in your 60 game championship. But still,
nice.
Right? I mean, this is it. This is the battle. This is what it's supposed to be. And if people aren't going to get on board, then they're missing out. But this is what we circle starting the season. I want to see if the Padres are really all about it.
It's awesome. Last one. Plaschke wrote a column. And I don't know, you know, Plaschke's, you know, he does his job. He's provoking, but he said this Dodger team could be the best team in the history of baseball.
Yeah, I'll see you in October, Plaschke.
Nice. That's it.
Well, they might do it.
I mean, it could be. I mean, maybe. We'll see.
We'll see. Right.
You know, he was writing a column, of course, to get people going. But it's something to just – I mean, it's a hell of a club. I'll tell you that.
Well, they're loaded. You know, they are loaded. And they are in a space right now where – it doesn't look like every other team out there is trying to match them. But the Padres are one of the few teams that are like, yeah, we're going to challenge you. So let's get it on.
Yeah, that's it. Let's get it on. All right, Howard, melt that damn snow. 71 degrees next week, buddy.
Good hearing you.
All right.
Thanks, bro.
Call anytime, boys. We'll
see ya, man.
You the man. Howard Bryant of ESPN. Probably we can talk about anything.
Oh, HB for life, dude. Hashtag HB for life.
You,
and you're right.
Any given topic. You, me, and HB getting sushi in Scottsdale. That's
right.
Living, buddy.
Right.
That's living. With right. Angel Pagan walking right past us.
Oh, dude,
cologne,
again,
right?
It was a strut. The pecs were thrust outward. It was a peacock. He was a peacock in his way over to the table. Yeah.
And the 19-year-old waitress who said she was really surprised that all the Phoenix Coyotes were nice to her.
Yeah, remember, it's funny because I got a lot of friends on the Coyotes. They're nice guys. Yeah. Anyway, shout out Ron Duguay and Cheryl Teague, Zadaway KBR. Yeah.
All right. That was fun. Let's do this. Mike Kruko and the Power Hour coming up. It's a lot of Giants the rest of the way. Shout out to the Warriors. We do have a dose, and they got their win last night. But
and
it's
Murph,
be a lot
and
of Giants,
the new hit TV show that's sweeping the countryside.
Pauly,
we got to get that out there, too.
I think the 7 o'clock crowd needs it before the Power Hour.
Coming up next.
Rave reviews already on the text line.
Okay, good.
KBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.